Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I believe everybody survived their little time away. I did. And I'll get into some of the news over the, you know, over the course of the past week, weekends, and so forth. But this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that I don't try to poke you in the eye, but this is the only show that will offer you and America the only course of action that we can take in getting the federal government to comply to the Constitution. If you want your political, if you want to call them opportunists, but I call them public servants, your political servants, your representatives, if you want them to comply and to enforce and stand up for the Constitution, you have to hold their feet to the fire, period. And the best way to do that is to get the party to do their job, and that's actually keep the fire lit and on their feet always. I talk about this all the time. I talk about the process of doing that. You know, corporations do this all the time, and there is no reason why the party can't do that. And as a matter of fact, I was going to say the Republican Party, but you know, the Republican Party doesn't have the copyright on the Constitution. I think it would be great to see the Libertarian Party and the Constitution Party all stand up and say, we're going to support the Constitution. What I would love to see is the rejoining or the M&A of the Libertarian and the Constitutional parties come back into the Republican Party. And I think they will, as soon as the Republican Party becomes the party that actually, you know, stands up and stands on the principles of the Constitution, compliance to it, put aside all the other issues. Literally, put aside every other issue, and they're minuscule. I mean, those issues, whether that be religious or faith or what have you, I dare say, yeah, religious and faith, those things are minuscule if we're complying to the Constitution, because the Constitution and our form of government was created to allow, you know, any type and any form of, and well, it was Christian-based, so I'll just stick with Christianity, any form and any type of Christianity to flourish. In the individual life, it has no place within the government, unless your government has, you know, and when I say that, your government, that means your state government and or your sub-elements of government between the county or parish. Those governments could actually embrace, and they constitutionally can, unless they've amended their constitution that they can't, they can actually identify a state-sponsored religion. It is not a violation of the Constitution, whether that be the First Amendment or the 14th Amendment. You want to talk about it? Send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I get it. There's lots of people that, you know, every once in a while get somebody to call, hey, love the show, that type of thing, but they don't really want to get into the details. I'll withhold your name. I'm not here to chide people. But what I'm trying to do is challenge your paradigms and actually get you to do the research, because you're going to find that, GR is kind of right on this. Not even kind of right. I am right on this. There's no doubt in my mind that there, you know, we've been indoctrinated and we've been programmed to believe that the states are, you know, just a sub-element of the federal government, and every aspect of what the federal government does is applied to this. That is incorrect. The federal government or the general government is a subcontractor and the sub-element in a supporting role for the states. That's their job. And so we can get into all of that. And I really want to kind of dub this show, What Is It Going to Take? So I want to try to make sure I bring this up as often as I can throughout the show today. What is it going to take to get you involved? Now, I know I have Trump campaign promises, and it doesn't look like the State of the Union is coming up anytime soon. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through these promises if I can get to them today. And I promise you, we will be digging into the militias. I'm doing that. But I'm also going through Douglas V. Gibbs's curriculum, his old curriculum. I know he's got a new one. I'm kind of ferreting through that as well, because we're going to be working with the party that wants to become the center on the Constitution and provide, you know, this constitutional training and so forth. And so what I'm trying to do is go through that so that we can kind of trim down the amount of time, the amount of classes and so forth that we can get through the next year, year and a half in helping educate the electorate as well as the party. So anyway, like I said, as you also know, I have this Take Action page, and if you haven't seen the video on that Take Action page, it's you know, down underneath those PDF files that are actually my slides that I use. Go watch that video. That way you can actually walk away saying, I understand what Republic Review is and what GR is talking about and doing, and oh my gosh, how come we haven't come to this epiphany yet? How come we're not all on board in moving forward in literally getting the federal government to, you know, to abide by the Constitution? If we do, if we all come together on this, we actually have a chance in saving the Constitution before they spend us into oblivion, we go bankrupt, and whoever our key debtors are, like China and so forth, Britain, then we actually can tell them, hasta la vista, baby. We're moving on our own, and we don't need you to buy our debt anymore. As a matter of fact, look out. Look out, because things are going to change. The paradigm shift will be happening. And so I also have the crowdfunding. Just to let you know, I may be making a trip in May. That's the first scheduled trip. I would really appreciate it if I could get some people to help, you know, underwrite, not even underwrite, just help me get reimbursed. And so that's what the whole point of the GoFundMe campaign is all about, to help cover the cost of the travel. If we have other things, like we're looking into buying some media kits. We're going to put that up there too. We're hoping that you can get involved at least a little bit and help subsidizing this. I mean, everybody that I know of that has gotten involved and contributed has found blessings that, you know, they couldn't account for before. I mean, the things have changed in their lives. So I can't promise you that you'll become rich, you'll become beautiful, handsome, or whatever your needs are. But I will tell you that if you believe that the Constitution was inspired by the divine hand of providence, is what the framers stated. That's literally what they stated. Then there is if they were inspired and blessed, there's no doubt in my mind that if we're going to work together in saving it, we will also receive inspiration and blessings. And so I put that out there. This is not just for me. This is for anybody and everybody that gets involved. Why would you not want inspirations and blessings? I'll leave it at that. Unless you're too blessed, unless you're too inspired, then okay, I get it. Then, you know, you don't have any more room for blessings and inspirations. Fine. But if you want to help in other ways, you can send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you can get involved, whether that be at your county level, state level, and so forth. There are other ways, and I'm hoping to be able to get with, like I said, Erin Williams. I've not heard back from her. She's in a move process right now. And as soon as we can get her on, and as soon as we can actually have a phone interview with her, we will be able to, you know, give you some more information of how you can get involved with I think it's called the First Right organization. Secondly, theconstitutionclub.ning.com. Go and get involved there. I know that Keith is working with state legislators in trying to repeal the 17th Amendment. And in all honesty, I think the easier mountain to climb is repealing the 17th Amendment, getting other states to amend the Constitution with the amount of states that they still have left to actually, you know, ratify that First Amendment. That they've got a pretty good hill to climb. And so if you really look at the amount of time in doing both of these, we don't have time unless we save the Constitution. In other words, we have to get the audit and republic review initiated ASAP if we are going to save the Constitution and our republic. And so with that, as I always do, and I did look, I scanned through the news. There is no sign of the news, or I should say, no sign of the federal government, not the news. There's no sign within the news that the federal government is going to disband any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. So that means it is up to you and I. If we want to spend a lot of time on distractions, which I know lots of people love to do this, they love to listen to what's going on because somehow they believe this affects their everyday lives. Nothing affects your everyday life more than those critical things that will literally change your life for good permanently. That is just literally that light at the end of the tunnel that's coming, bearing our way. That is really not the end of the tunnel. That is a train that is going to overrun us. And that is the federal government, its spending, its debt, and all of the powers that it's created. It is so insatiable. It will not literally walk away from any of these powers until we start forcing it. I have sent information to Trump regarding this whole process of what he can do and what, you know, how he can literally start disbanding the EOs via EOs with the EPA and so forth. And so I put it out to you. I hope that maybe you can send him a message as well and say, hey, start using your leverage against the Democrats by shutting down the EPA and these other unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. I'm out of time. I'll be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. All right, well, so like I've been saying, there is no better time spending your precious time than on things that will actually have a guarantee in protecting and preserving your liberty. So I know we got to, you know, fight off the alligators, but we also have to drain the swamp. And so the only thing that is truly, you know, the true alligator that we have in front of us is federal tyranny. If we're not fighting that, then we will be overcome by that. And so, and that's kind of a play on Franklin Covey's words. So let me kind of get onto the central theme. What is it going to take to get you involved? Now, if you go to my Take Action page, I also have at the very top, I put in this new petition that is on, it's in the White House. If you click on that, it'll take you to the, it's a White House petition. It goes until February 4th. So if you click on that petition, you can actually demand that the White House take action in going after, and I forget, I need to probably pull it up because that way you can actually look at who it is, and I can tell you exactly who it is when I click on the petition. So you click on that petition, it will take you to the White House, and the title of the petition is the removal of Democratic Congressperson Ilhan Abdulli Omar from the 5th Congressional District in her participation in marriage fraud. So she basically violated our constitutional laws in one coming here as a refugee, becoming, a U.S. citizen. Then she married her brother. And while she was married to her brother, she married another alien to bring him forward as a spouse. And so this has been uncovered. Here's somebody that has committed a crime. And I believe this falls under at least the DOJ, if not the FEC, by putting in a fraudulent claim that you've basically applied to all the laws and so forth. So here's one little thing you can just literally get involved. Just click on that link. It'll take you to the petition. You sign the petition. We need to, I think they need something like 52,000 more signatures by February 4th. So we're literally just a little over 2 weeks away. Need to get it done, folks. We need to step up and literally get this done. I also want to talk about Alyssa Milano. What an elitist racist she is. And if you've seen her tweet about white boys not being able to empathize, you know, that sure seems really unempathetic regarding white boys. I'm not sure how you feel or where that kind of stacks up in your queue, but it's just another... And it's just the typical paradigm of those elitists that are out there. I mean, they really don't care. As a matter of fact, they realize that they have to go after a very specific class, and they have to. And this is what motivates and rallies their base, because bottom line, they're feeding people hate so that people can get enraged, so that they can just go after. And this is all just feeding a narrative. The other thing that I know everybody notices this, and I know it's worth saying, but there has been a complete silence on the rampage of crimes committed by illegals. I really don't care what the nationality is of the individuals. We have illegal aliens coming here, and they are committing crimes, and it's just literally a rampage. In Nevada, there were a couple of guys that were arrested that were illegals, cops being killed, so forth and so on. It is open season for the rule of law in America by illegals, because the Democrats are saying, you know, if you can break the fundamental law that keeps you out of this nation, then that means you can break any law that you want. We're going to try to give you a pass as much as possible. Just try to keep it down, okay? And the fact is, the mainstream media is very, very quiet on this. So the question I have, and because you know this, you are completely aware of this fact, I'm not telling you anything new. So my question to you is, what is it going to take to get you involved? Obviously, the narrative, obviously, the paradigm, everything that they are doing just speaks loud that they are doing everything they can to undermine our constitutional republic and our rule of law. So what is it going to take? Are you going to finally wake up and say, you know, it ends today. I am going to get informed. I'm going to get involved. If you want to get informed, watch that video on the Take Action page, reclaimingtherepublic.org. I also can tell you that the die has been cast. I actually said this a few weeks ago, that with the struggling market in Los Angeles, there's lots of people in Los Angeles. If you understand the magnitude of how many people are in Los Angeles, and the fact that they finally got some football teams and they're finally starting to get the attendance, but they're still not where they need to be. So they need to get a booster shot, and they need to become let's call them a real legitimate NFL town. And there's nothing that is more legitimate for an NFL town than to win a Super Bowl. And so an LA team had to get there. And isn't it great that both the LA Chargers and the LA Rams were in the playoffs? I mean, it was almost like there was a guarantee almost that one of those teams was going to make it. And surprise, one of the teams did make it. And surprise, the other legacy team that everybody, you know, loves to have at least either beat or win are the Patriots. And so there's no doubt in my mind, this is a huge shot in the arm for the anemic market for the NFL in the Los Angeles suburban area and so forth. And so it's been pretty pathetic. You know, even though they've been able to get the teams there, they've never been able to keep the teams. And it's just like they've never really been able. Now, the Raiders, I will tell you, the Raiders, they just have a following. And it doesn't matter where they go, they can be successful. But they did have a hard time eventually trying to, you know, or at least trying to fill the Coliseum. That was a big stadium to fill. And it wasn't a really suitable stadium. And the NFL teams just could not get LA to pay to help subsidize the NFL. Here is an organization that has been exempt in paying income tax, corporate tax, for I don't know how long. And they continually go back to the cities and say, you got to build the fields for us. Come on. And then the worst thought is, you know, like the Rams came from St. Louis. Well, the St. Louis Rams should have been a moniker or should have been a trademark that would have stayed there. And I think that was done with the Colts, if you remember. Or who was it? Baltimore Ravens were originally the Cleveland Browns. It wasn't the Cleveland Browns that moved to Baltimore, and then they, you know, Cleveland built up another team. But the fact is that cities need to actually trademark these names. And as a matter of fact, they build upon the city's name. The Los Angeles Rams, the San Diego Chargers, that should have been a trademark that's owned by the city, not the team, because it bears the city's name. So that if that team moves and leaves, it cannot keep the Chargers. It has to come up with its own name. And that way, if the team gets a new team back, just like with the Browns did, I thought that was brilliant. Because the worst thing a team, or I should say a trademark, can do is literally, you know, change its trademark, change its name, and so forth. And that's always been a problem in understanding branding and protecting your brand. Well, anyway, I also talked about Gladys Knight. Thumbs up on her. I love the fact that she's going to try to put the loyalty back into the NFL by singing the anthem, and my hat's off to her for that. So let me keep on going. And I know that people have been complaining a lot about this government shutdown, but I want to put this back into perspective, because if you understand how much money is being spent in these offices, and I saw this bar chart that had, I think, I'm trying to remember who the top one was, but EPA, education, I mean, some of these top spenders that have been truly affected by the shutdown are really more of the social services and so forth. And if you really want to understand this, if it's just like your local politics, as we've been talking about over the past week, that it seems like your counties, you know, have the money to do everything but the basic services that they have to do. Why is it that they're spending money on anything else other than education, fire, and police? You know, the fundamental services that they have to do. Roadways. Some of them are state, some of them are county. Why is it that they always have to come back and start, you know, basically throwing bonds out to people or raising sales tax so that they can get the revenue, because they're spending all the money on other things? That's got to change. We have to start holding them accountable. And it's really starting, it's a trickle-down effect, because it starts at the federal government. The federal government comes along and creates a bureaucracy like the EPA. And then they tell states, you need to create a bureaucracy. And then it starts sucking up the money. And literally it starts, it starts creating this trickle down effect, or if you want to call it a sponge effect, because these sponges keep on going down and they suck up your money. And all of a sudden you don't have money to do the basic fundamental services that they're supposed to do. And then you have these bureaucracies that are being created by these things that are literally taking away your rights and privileges, like your right to access your water on your property. This is happening in multiple states across the Republic, California, Washington, Oregon, and so forth. You cannot have access to your groundwater to put in a well, even if you've owned that property for a long time. They're creating ex post facto laws to say it's illegal for you to access water. I'm telling you, friends, this is federal tyranny. They have no role, responsibility, and power in the Constitution to do this, and they're forcing it down our throats. We'll be right back after this, and I'm going to ask you again, what's it going to take? Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so, let me just kind of slow this down just a sec. I want you to go to, I think it's the White House, and you can look at the outlays of the budget. And you can actually look at what they're spending money on. My challenge to you is to marry up what they're spending the money on with the enumerated powers. You will find in your research that over 80% of the outlays that the federal government is spending is on unconstitutional programs and powers and so forth and so on. It's just like your local government. Way too much money is being spent on things that they really have no responsibility to spend money on. And so as this trickles down from the federal government to creating these bureaucracies, they are sucking us dry and they are transferring our wealth to these bureaucracies, companies, and so forth. It's kind of like the wall. I'll talk about this in a second. But why is it that the Democrats want a technology wall, a smart wall? Because that's how they funnel money to their favorite cash cows, those favorite contributors, their loyalists, which are the tech companies, these communists like Google and so forth. Yeah, let Google take control of our wall, right? There you go. And that's the direction they want to take us. And as I've said this before, I sent off a message. I sent off another message to or email or whatever. They call it email, but I sent off another message to President Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump. And I've asked him, please, I'd be happy to prove to you academically, you know, I can even create the precedents by three presidents vetoing bills that created that would have created unconstitutional powers like the Department of Transportation. And, you know, where is the amendment that these three presidents said we had to amend the Constitution to create a Department of Transportation? And yet we have a Department of Transportation without an amendment. What the heck happened? We've been duped. We've been deceived. We've been lied to. And if President Trump really wants to make America great again, start chiding on him. Go to White House. Go to the whitehouse.gov and, you know, go to the connection or contact and send him a message to say, hey, get rid of these unconstitutional powers that you're exercising or executing, what have you. I think that Trump needs to go on the air almost every 3 days. And if he can get this paradigm every 3 days, he should basically say, well, it has come to my attention that the bureaucracy that has been created called the Environmental Protection Agency was a usurpation of states' powers. The federal government has no enumerated power for this, for us to even be doing this. And therefore, all the money that we've been spending on this has been a complete waste of the taxpayers' money. And in congruence to the Constitution and to be harmonious and to be a faithful servant as the President of the United States, that I am supposed to faithfully execute these laws. I see that by maintaining the Environmental Protection Agency, I need to shut this down and literally shut it down. And basically in his EO say, we're shutting down all the budget except for manpower. We will keep these people employed for so many days, for, you know, 6 months, once the government opens up again, and then they will have time to, you know, pack their bags and try to move into the, you know, the private sector and move out of the public sector, literally wiping away the entire EPA, and then watch the Democrats over there in Congress, in the House, all of a sudden just, I mean, they're going to come unhinged. This will literally do them in. They will not let him go another 3 days and basically say in 3 more days, we're going to do the research and we're going to figure out what the next agency that we need to get rid of is. And I will tell you, the Democrats will pay $100 billion for his wall and even possibly some deportation of criminals. I mean, they're going to probably provide a compromise. But I don't understand why the Republican Party has always been the party of compromise, other than the fact that I think it's been the establishment that is going along with it. Yeah, we need to do this. We need to do this because this is the direction of the globalists and those corporations that are paying for us to be here. We need to do their bidding. And I'm tired of that. I'm tired of being the party of compromise. As a matter of fact, we're compromising to our own demise. And so we need to literally start floating these ideas and concepts. And as a matter of fact, I think Trump needs to go, you know what? I think even one better. I want to be able to deport everybody that's illegal. You know, I've been doing everything I can to try to protect these illegals. But, you know, doggone, that just doesn't jive with my responsibility of enforcing, faithfully executing the laws of the land. There's no law that says we're supposed to ignore the laws. I mean, that is like the antithesis of what the whole point of the laws is. Bottom line, President Trump has outlined a compromise to end the government shutdown by extending legal protections to 1 million immigrants, including work permits, enrollment in Social Security. My friends, Social Security enrollments into that. 800 million in humanitarian assistance, 805 million for drug detection technology. 2,750 new Border Patrol agents, 75 new immigration judges. Well, I think we need those. And I think we need the agents as well, as well as $5.7 billion for his wall. I think he should just say, forget all the rest of that. Give me $100 million for my wall and to start going after the rest of these illegals. He does this after he shuts down the EPA. A number of Democrats responded by saying they are not ready to accept any deal until Trump first reopens the government with no conditions. So you want to take that, you want to take that one line away from him, President Trump? You want to make them run to the bargaining table to give you what you want? Start shutting down the unconstitutional bureaucracies that have been created by bad actors in the federal government, such as Nixon, such as Johnson, such as FDR, such as Truman. Even Reagan, in doing some of the things that he did with the EEO and so forth, those were unconstitutional. The federal government has no enumerated powers in doing any of this stuff. And so, you know, if you really want to, if you really want to reopen the government and start making America great, now is the time to take the gloves off and just, now that you have an opponent that you can pummel, it's the time to pummel. The sacred cow for the communists and these Democrats over in the House is to ensure a complete majority of useful idiots who want entitlements, who want the handout, and they want that spigot to be open as full as possible. This is designed to collapse our system, which is bottom line, the Cloward-Piven strategy. You get that? I know you do. So what is it going to take for you to get involved? What is it going to take for you to actually start standing up and saying, hey, they are literally exercising this Cloward-Piven strategy to destroy us. They're trying to collapse our system. Well, let's move on. How about the FBI deputy director? I believe he was on, I think it was Tucker Carlson, Terry Tursche, who says that Nancy Pelosi and her friends are promoting a technological wall along the border. And I talked about this just a second ago. He's the one that's actually called it out. He says that's because the Democratic Party is owned by the technocrats in Silicon. Right? So pushing a digital solution, whether that be the Silicon Valley or any of these other tech centers where they have these hubs and so forth, and that could be down in North Carolina, so Raleigh-Durham. All of these tech centers are pushing a digital solution for everything, and it is a huge payoff because the government is paying the debt. Are they going to be paying these patsies to do this stuff? And how do we know that they're actually going to work? You know, who's to say that Google isn't turning it off on certain times and that the bad players across the border don't know, oh, well, it's off now. Go. A physical wall doesn't actually dissolve in a second and then rebuild itself. A physical wall is actually a permanent solution. And so my hat's off to Trump in going down that path. But my question for you, my friends, is what is it going to take? I mean, we're basically transferring wealth to these tech industries. We've transferred wealth to Solyndra, Kaiser, and all of these other huge green energies with Trump, not with Trump, with Obama. I mean, what they call the spoils system, where the president gets to select without bid. That's why Amazon under Obama had a no bid contract won, and they're the maintainers of the cloud. You can't tell me that there isn't collusion with these tech companies and the Democrats, or I should say the globalist communists. There is a direct tie. Orlean, I'm going to mispronounce her name. I think it's Kehi or Kohli. Anyway, she's the president of the Eagle Forum down in California, and she's coming out with a book on the 5G. And I know she's supposed to be speaking. I don't know if it's St. Louis or what have you, but I hope to have her on the show to come out and talk about the details of 5G. This is not a safe network. It is there's almost in every aspect of this network, there's nothing good about it. The Chinese and the tech companies want to control all information. It's almost like your smart meters already. Those smart meters are capable of telling what appliances you are running by the frequencies that they create on your power line. And oh, by the way, they're also radiating the crap out of you. If you haven't watched, go look for smart meters radiation. You'll probably find that the amount of radiation that oozes out of those things exceeds what your cell phone does. And so we're radiating ourselves, and they want to put the 5G network, which is not safe for anybody anywhere. Anyway, so I'm at a hard break, and I have to ask you, what is it going to take? What is it going to take to get you involved? Well, maybe we'll try when we come back And maybe that will be the straw that breaks the camel's back. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Senator Patrick Kolbeck of Michigan has basically, he's got the credentials in technology and has come right out and has opposed. I mean, this guy's been around and he opposes the whole rollout of the 5G just literally because of its radiation levels can cause cancer and autism and so forth. And he says it needs to be stopped. And the reason it's rolling forward is because of the former administration has planted telecom and these techie representatives, insiders into the FCC and the necessary bureaucracies, so that they can make sure that what they want to do can pull forward, so that they can create this big brother network that can monitor anything and everything. You know, you've heard me rail a lot. And so, again, what is it going to take? What's it going to take to get you involved if you don't realize that the deep state is so powerful? These things need to be shut down. Trump can literally shut these things down. What he can also do is, let's say there's some really good people that he's inserted into the EPA, he can start moving them into the State Department. That's a legitimate department, and getting rid of some of the bad players, because the State Department is steeped with bad players. And so he can literally start moving some of these good people that he's hired, that's already made it through the vetting and all of that, and get rid of some of the bad players that Obama, the Clintons, and Bushes have put in for years. One of the things I've been railing about is this whole religious test, right? It's in the Constitution, Article 4, Section 6. I think it's subsection 2 or 3, whatever. I'd have to go to it. And you know what? I hate to say these things and then not actually be able to really get to the precise subsection. And so let me see here. Yes, no religious test. It is subsection 3. No religious tests are supposed to be requirements for public service. And so Democratic Senator Kamala Harris and Hawaii Senator Hirano has been rebuked by the Senate for violating the Constitution when they used a religious test while interviewing U.S. District Court judicial nominee Brian Boucher. Boucher is Catholic, and basically they were trying to go down this path of using that and his membership with the Catholics, Knights of Columbus and so forth, to having extreme positions and basically saying that because he's affiliated with these religious organizations, he's not fit for qualifications. Bottom line, I've been telling you, we have to stop allowing them to using religious tests. And the best way to do that is to start getting faith-based people to just shut up and quit putting your chest out saying, I'm an evangelical, I'm this, I'm, you know, it doesn't matter. What you are is you are going to be a faithful servant executing the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't care what your faith is. I've said this before. I've gone on and on about this. And they have gotten to a point, and that's where they've been programming our kids. Our kids are now learning in the school system that anybody that has any religious dogma, any type of religious affiliations, that they're filled with dogma, and they are going to go after their good time. Their, you know, how they identify, their gender identity, and their orientation, it doesn't matter, because those people with religious affiliations think that they're evil because they call what we believe in and what you're, you know, and these are fourth and fifth graders. And they're teaching these kids that, you know, these, there are people out there that don't want you to have these, you know, enjoy your life the way you should be able to. They're putting this crap in their heads. And it's already in these senators' heads. There's no doubt in my mind, our kids are being programmed to vote. If you identify yourself and put your chest out in any business or any organization, like We Believe We Vote, I think they're doing a huge disservice. They need to go away, and then they need to refine themselves another day on the Constitution and literally say, these people support liberty. What kid would not want to support somebody that believes in liberty, unless the Democrats start changing the dialogue of what does liberty mean? And then they have to change their label of liberal to something else and abandon the concept of liberty and liberal, because they basically have hijacked what was once a good thing, a liberal. And now they've made it a secular, progressive enslaver. They're the pro-slavery movement, which has nothing to do with a true classical liberal. And so we got to get to that point. We have to accept that they are using the system against us, especially when we're actually surrendering to them by saying, yes, I, you know, I think this is really important. And it's not important. When somebody comes up with, what's your feeling on abortion? What is your feeling on homosexual? Well, that's a state issue. Why are you, why do you care about that? You know, I'm running for a federal position. And they go, well, you know, we got federal law. Well, there's nowhere in the Constitution that's enumerated that power. I believe that's a state issue, and I believe that that needs to be solved by the state. If the states want us to have this power and ability, and then it becomes an issue for us, then they need to amend the Constitution. But until then, I honestly put this into the realm of a religious category, and I think it should be left to the states, period. And unless you want to start subjecting me to a religious test, is that what you want to do? And there you go. It literally disarms them. It puts their fuse out. Now, the United Nations World Health Organization has listed vaccine hesitancy, which means refusal to accept vaccines, as one of the top 10 threats against health in 2019. General immunization rates are high, but the number of children not receiving some or all of recommended vaccines is on the rise. And that is because people are actually reading the labels. And there's lots of people, you know, from local and nationally. And I'll probably try to get somebody on to talk about this. But there are polls that are showing that, you know, kids that are actually not vaccinated have a greater chance of survival. And so that's because, you know, there is a compromise to with what they have been putting in those things. I can't believe that we have allowed ourselves to get into this situation where they are literally injecting toxins into your children and mandating that they have to have these things. This is the government mandating that you put your child at risk to possibly become autistic and or have all sorts of other health problems. What is it going to take? Because they clearly do not have the constitutional power and authority. That is federal tyranny. What is it going to take to get you involved? These are just a few of the things on a day-to-day basis that are literally just smacking us in the face, where they do not have the constitutional authority. Do I need to, and I will, I'm going to get back into the ratification debates and prove this. Madison clearly said that the federal government has enumerated powers and enumerated objects, and within those things is the only thing that they can operate with. Anything outside of that, they have no jurisdiction. John Marshall said the exact same thing. I love the way George Nicholas says, hey, if it's not enumerated, they can't meddle with it. And they're meddling to kingdom come. They're dancing in the fields with the fact that they can meddle with anything and everything because they've pulled the wool over America's eyes. And that's because they've gotten these really smart, educated people that have been duplicit and as well as nefarious with machinations of trying to subjugate America, like Dewey, some of these other progressives like Wilson, FDR, so forth and so on, Obama. All of them have been trying and doing everything they can to undermine our constitutional rights. They're trying to destroy our constitutional republic. So what's it going to take? What will we need to prove to you before it's too late? Because we're running out of time. As I've told you, once they get to critical mass, the 2024, and there's nothing that we can do to stop that. There's nothing you and I can do that will stop these kids coming out of these indoctrination centers. The greatest thing that can happen is Trump shuts down the Department of Education, stops that funding, and shuts down that curriculum so that the local communities can take back their education system. That would be the greatest thing possible. But that in itself can happen. And the one thing that can happen is for you and I to actually start funding and actually supporting the local politicians in Wyoming and these other states getting on board with Republic Review. If we get Republic Review, the audit to step up, that means that the states are stepping up and taking a stand and saying, hold it. There is nowhere in this contract where we've delegated your, you know, for you to tax us and then demand that we take your education, that we have to comply to your regulations of healthcare, that you can even manipulate us in the energy markets and sell us downriver. Are you kidding me? What about the housing and urban development and all the bureaucracies coming from that? All these things that are just steeped with the Agenda 2030. All of these bureaucracies that are steeped with them, they're all unconstitutional. So, again, the standing question today is, what is it going to take? All I'm asking is that you start putting aside some money. So, you know, like I said, 1 gallon of gas a week, if you save that money up, or if you want to just actually just make the contributions to my GoFundMe and just in the contributions comments say, I want this to go to the candidates, then I won't actually use that money. We'll keep that into that account, and we will actually contribute that money into the campaigns of the candidates that are supporting Republic Review. I would love it that you would help us in getting the refunds, or I should say help us reimburse ourselves for our costs of travel and educating these folks out at the state. I love you, folks, and I'm G.R. Mobley, and I'm here to reclaim the Republic, and I need your help. So send us some love. We need your love, too. God bless. We'll be back later.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.